This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Gracious God, as we reflect upon the words and actions of your Son, we pray that you would so touch our hearts with wisdom and discernment that we might truly seek first your kingdom. As we look to him as our example, may we continue to mirror his love in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. There is a young minister sitting in his rectory house, and there is an urgent knock on the door. And he opens the door and sees this person sweating, obviously having run to the house, looking rather distressed. "What's wrong?" he says. The person responds, "You got to help. There's this family. And the father has lost his job. The mother is sick and she cannot work and needs medical care. They have three children and they can't put food on the table for them. And besides that, the mother of the dad lives with them and she too is an invalid and can't take care of herself. The mortgage is due again and they can't pay it again. And the landlord is going to throw them out into the street tomorrow unless they pay the money. And it's winter in the north." The minister says, "Oh, that's horrible. Of course we'll help. We'll do whatever we can, but tell me, how do you know this family?" And the person responds, "I'm the landlord." Deeds matching words. Words matching deeds. This is what the gospel is about today. Certainly the person who appeared on the rectory doorstep wasn't exactly matching their deeds with the compassion they were expressing in their voice. The challenge of this gospel and the challenge of all the gospels is for us to look for the ways in which our words can match our deeds. When we look at the big picture, did either of these two brothers get it right? No. We're going to look a little bit about how the second one in the context got it a little bit more right. But it is one thing for us to say we're going to do something and then not do it. And it's another thing that's not exactly perfect to say we're not going to do it with a bad attitude, but then we go and we end up doing it. The idea is to match the two together. That is where authority comes from, when deeds match words. Walking the talk. 4 o'clock today, we're celebrating St. Francis here with the blessing of the animals, one of his most famous lines. Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. It's all about the way we live. We speak volumes by what we do more than anything we could possibly say. I'm sure somewhere along the line you've heard somebody say in conversation, I can't hear you speaking because your actions are so loud. If there isn't a match between the two, we get a problem. You know, Gandhi, he remarked in his life, he would have been a Christian, but he didn't see the Christians around him matching up their deeds with what they were saying they believed in. And he ended up a Hindu. So the challenge for us is matching these words and deeds. Now, there is nothing to say that it is good or better or best for what the second son did here in this parable today. We could say he's a procrastinator, perhaps. I ran across a little epitaph poem that somebody wrote that goes like this. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow. It was too bad indeed he was too busy to see his friends, but he promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and faded from view, and all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. It's not just about good intentions. It's about the follow-up and matching our deeds with our words. I remember when I was in my corporate career, there was this hotshot young guy out of college that had all of these accolades placed upon him, but we started to discover that he was all talk and no action. He couldn't walk the talk. It became difficult for human resources when it came time to do an evaluation, how they could make the point but not upset management who still believed in this guy. And the human resources director was so clever. He wrote in the evaluation, he has a lot of potential, and he always will. If we don't do anything, it's not that much good to talk about it. We have to put it into action. Now that is what Jesus is getting at today. Now to understand why in this passage the second son does a better job, you got to understand where Jesus is coming from in this. In this part of Matthew, we've already had the Palm Sunday experience. Jesus has rode into Jerusalem on the donkey with all these questionable characters around him, waving the olive branches, waving the palm trees, and all of that stuff that really upsets those in authority, those in power. And then after that, Jesus goes into the temple, and we all know what happened there. He turns over the tables in the temple from the money changers and says, "My house shall be a house of prayer, and you are making it into a den of robbers." This upset these people in power. This upset them because it's a question of authority. Now we get into this sort of tit-for-tat conversation they have at the first part of this gospel that I always think they ought to have in Jesus' words saying, "Well, nanny, nanny, foo-foo, if you won't tell me, I won't tell you." It looks like there's this little thing going on, but there's a question that we're talking about here of authority, meaning the deeds matching the words. Remember, it's those in official authority who had put those money changers there, who were getting their share of the till as well, and had gotten into this point of their lives where there wasn't much internal going on. There wasn't much of a match of the deeds with the words and the words with the deeds. And so authority, who has the authority? becomes the question here. Well, Jesus is pointing out to them, the real authority comes when you see the deeds matching the words. And so he points out to them about John. All of these incredible miracles, all of these prostitutes, all of these bad, evil people that you saw, their lives changed and were transformed. And they became new. And you witness those miracles and still you won't believe. So what's it going to take, he's saying. It's about authority. Now, authority, the word, the root of that, author, there's a reason why that is there as well. The author is the one who would have authority. Now, think about this. I'm reading all these books I have to for my next class, and usually you read all these books, and it's written by somebody who died years ago, or it's written by somebody who lives in another country. Well, this time, most of the books are written by the guy who's teaching the class. Now, all of these questions I have and disagreements and misunderstandings and needs for clarification, I'm excited about this because I'm going to the author. I'm going to the guy with authority. It's the same as we mentioned at the early service. I've watched Harry McDaniel for years around here. I've watched Rick Filer for years around here. I've watched Tim Newell. I've watched Sam. I've watched all of you who have such gifts for fixing stuff. I know you're an authority. If something breaks, guess who I'm going to call? Because I know you are an author. You have authority. Now transfer that over to our spiritual lives. You want to know who has authority? It is the author. It is God who literally wrote the book. It is Jesus, the author of our salvation. That reading we did antiphonally from Philippians. Jesus walked the talk. He was God, but he wanted to show us and back up his words of how much we were loved. He gave his life completely for us. So where does that bring us with authority? It brings us to the point where if we really want to be people who follow authority and live authentically, we have to listen to the author. Now there's only one way we can do that. That is on a journey of a relationship with the author that is going to continue to grow. It never ends. It never stops. That's what happened with these scribes and Pharisees and chief priests. They thought they had it all. I'm done. I just follow these rules and I'm done. But there has to be a relationship that continues to grow, and we call that prayer. We call that the ongoing conversation we have listening and talking with God. We are all called to that journey. We're going to have an opportunity in a couple weeks to begin a six-week study series on prayer. We're going to be having a sermon series that's going to re-echo the themes of small groups that we're going to have for 6 weeks. This might be the perfect thing for you right now. It might not. But whether or not you decide to sign up for one of these groups, it's important for us, I think, as a church, that we take this opportunity to recommit ourselves to our lives of prayer. Because if we're going to live authentically and match those words to deeds, the only way we can do it is if we continue to look to the one who gave us the perfect example of that. The one who was the Word made flesh. Deeds matching words. That's Jesus. Let's pray that we can continue to live authentically, looking to the author who has ultimate authority and guidance for us. Amen.